It is not debatable now that these overstimulating, highly palatable, obesogenic foods that are out in our for public consumption everywhere and are looked at as normal can literally be addictive to the brain.
Hi, welcome to the Judy Terrell Show, where I explore topics intended to optimize every body 50, 60, 70, and above.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Judy Terrell Show. This is episode number 2 of my series on Think This, Not That, what to replace the thoughts in your mind to replace the ones that are leading you astray when it comes to your weight loss program. In my introduction in the first of this series, I explained that I've been working in the weight loss industry for 40 years. What I did not mention in my first episode is that I also, in addition to have, certifications and information and education and experience in working one-on-one with people, like thousands of people, if not tens of thousands of people at this point, I also have I brought myself back to school at one point, 1997 actually, and got a master's degree in counseling psychology with a specialty in addictions. Now, when I went back to school back in the 1990s, before we had some advanced technology to, brain imaging, my position was food, or if you've been following my series, what I call food product, because food product is when our food industry has taken parts of other foods that are real foods, consolidated them, manipulated them, combined them, and then put them into what's called a food product, which we then consume that causes our reward system of our brain to go like crazy stimulated, and then we tend to want to eat them and overeat them. So those food products are what I say are addiction. Your body, this human brain, can get addicted to them much the same as it can to alcohol or, illicit drugs or certain behaviors like stealing, kleptomania, like gambling, whatever. Now, back in the 1990s, that wasn't thought to be the case. Food was not looked at as to be an addiction. There was a lack of increase of tolerance, a lack of withdrawal effects, so they thought. Fast forward to now, 2022, right now, this current year, there is no debate that, because of our brain imaging, clearly these food products can light the human brain up like a Christmas tree, similar to crack cocaine, the most addictive, substance on the planet up until, a certain period of time. And so it is not debatable now that these overstimulating, highly palatable, obesogenic foods that are out in our for public consumption everywhere and are looked at as normal can literally be addictive to the brain. So, but we're swimming in that. We are living in that environment. You're not going to eradicate yourself from it. I always tell clients that we're like the crack addicts and we live in the crack den and you cannot get out. And you have to be exposed to it all the time. So we have to come up with coping schemes and skills and techniques for how to be in that food environment and be able to stay with a weight loss program, because you either physically need to from a health perspective or you want to lose weight. So I am on the second of my top six of the thematic, inner thoughts, the self-talk that goes on in someone's brain that leads them to fall off their plan, even though they have a viable and, what's going to be the correct plan for them in terms of nutrition, but yet they're not following that plan. They're falling off it. And what I typically hear from client is, I know what to do. Now I just have to get myself to do it. And when I hear that from clients now, because I've heard it so often, what I say back to them is, so you think there's going to be like divine intervention at some point, like, that when you wake up one day and this is the day that, you're going to get yourself to be able to do it when you have not been able to get yourself to do it, even though you have the right information for the last, decade. No, that's not how it's going to happen. You have to have intervention. You have to have like some external to help you to see where your brain is leading you astray in your self-talk. And then what to replace it with so that you can then follow what you know is the right thing for you to follow. The skills of getting the right information is one skill set, and then having the ability to follow that, you know, information is an entirely different skill set. And thinking that you just have to get, well, maybe this is the wrong information for me, or I have to follow a different plan, like, you're going to keep spinning into the same, you know, eventually you're going to get to the same spot, and that is your own brain is having thoughts, and you're talking to yourself in such a way that it's getting you to fall off the plan, you know, even though it could be a really good one, or multiple good ones that might work for you. So my series, and again, I just explained my background with my master's degree, is to lend credibility to why am I doing podcasts on how to change your brain. Well, because I've listened to the stories and I've dug into people and made them say, all right, well, what were you thinking when you did that? And what were you thinking right before you did that? And what were you thinking an hour before you did that? And really did the, you know, the sleuthing out with, like I said, literally tens of thousands of clients through 40 years, but also have, you know, an educated degree, an advanced degree in psychology and counseling psychology of addictions. So you put that together, that's why I'm presenting, you know, how to change your brain, how to change your self-talk to get yourself to follow a plan and actually successfully lose weight. Okay, so in the first podcast of this series, I addressed a very big one that I hear almost all the time. I'm going to address another one now that's my top six, obviously, but it's number two. And what is the thought that leads people to watch themselves not follow their plan and then say, well, I know what to do, I just have to get myself to do it, okay? So the second thought that I hear is, you know, you've had a really stressful day, or, you know, the shit's hitting the fan with family issues, or there's, you know, you're having in a very emotional state in a relationship, or, you know, you just got a health issue that came to, you know, up to be, or you just lived through a pandemic like we all just did. I'm shooting this towards the end of the second year of the 2020-22 pandemic, or any host of things, you know, that go on in human lives all the time that lead us to feel at some point in the day, or if not extended times during the day, either like too tired or too stressed or too overwhelmed or too upset. So that now you come home or you walk into the food, you know, room at your work, or you're driving by a fast food takeout, or you go to a restaurant, open up the menu, and you have a plan of what you were gonna order, but like you're just too freaking tired. You know, you get home from work and you have to cook for your family, prepare dinner, and you're just like, you're just too exhausted. You had a very stressful day, and you're going to turn to like the hedonistic food or the fast available food. You're going to order pizza, or you're going to have, you know, cereal, Count Chocula cereal with marshmallows in it, you know, which is clearly not on your plan. Because you're just overwhelmed, you're tired, you just don't have the energy. You can't, it's like I hear from client over and over again, I just can't dredge up the energy to, like, you know, do what I know I'm supposed to do. And they might have even prepped the food, but like just like even getting it out and now finishing it, you know, to finish the preparation is just like they're just too exhausted and too spent. And that is a setup. And in their mind, that's exactly what they're saying. I'm too tired. I'm too stressed. I'm like, nobody should be, I'm too emotionally upset right now. Nobody should be expected to stick to their program under these conditions. So I have like every excuse in the world for why I should fall off and slip, right? So the thought that's in there, the self-talk that's going on is, I am too, just to consolidate it all, overwhelmed and too tired to fight the fight, and I'm just going to give in. And when I give in, I'm going to give in like 100%. Like I'm surrendering. I'm like, I just don't have it in me to like even think about, you know, that I should have, you know, a salad with some broccoli in it and some chicken that's grilled and not, you know, deep fried, whatever. You get the point. So what happens is you're too overwhelmed. You're feeling like you just don't have that even like nano degree of energy to put in the good fight. And when that is what's going on in your body and in your mind, the surrender is 100%. Like I'm going to go and I'm going down. I'm going down all the way. Like, so again, it becomes ice cream for dinner, or, you know, I'm ordering the pizza, I don't care. I'm having the leftover cake that was on my counter when I came home, I don't care. You know, I'm just too tired to deal with it. I'm too tired to fight the drive that's inside me right now to go to this food, even though I know it's not on my plan. All right. So, the intervention. So, let me tell you something right now. Like, in the world we live in right now, that feeling of being too overwhelmed to, like stay on your plan, it doesn't happen, like, once every month or once every 6 months. Like, it happens frequently. It can be happening every day. It can be happening multiple times a day. So, if you're waiting for, like the time where there's, like, a stretch of time where you're not going to feel like that, like, you're going to be, you know, morbidly obese because you're gonna crash and burn over and over again until you're gaining more and more weight in the process, okay? So you can't wait to, like, when the earth, moon, and stars line up and you're not ever too tired and too stressed and too overwhelmed, okay, or too emotional. You got to hit it while that's going on with a different approach, okay? So the thought that goes on in the person's mind that I've heard over and over again is like, when I say, well, you know, so what happens then? You're like, I'm diving in. I'm like, I'm going in 100%. So I'm going to go down. I'm going down the rabbit hole. I'm totally surrendering 100%. I'm letting go of the reins. Like, that's it. I'm diving. Okay. And here's where the intervention thought is going to come in. And I'm going to tell you a story to illustrate it once I tell you what the intervention is, okay? So the thought that you have to start to pump into your mind when this is the scenario is this. All right, I'm overwhelmed. I'm too tired. I'm clearly not going to eat XYZ food on my plan. I'm having this one, or I'm going to do this behavior. But I'm not going to 100% surrender. I'm only going to 90. The max I'm going to go is 90%. Maybe I'll go 70%, maybe I'll go 50, maybe I'll go 20, but I'm not going 100%. If I feel myself going down that path, then I'm going to hold on 10% that I'm going to still stay in the game, okay? What does that look like in real life? It looks like this. You just ate the entire sleeve of Girl Scout cookies, but there's two still there, and your brain says, screw it, you might as well just keep eating them because you're off. That would be 100% surrender. 90% surrender says, nope, I'm only going to eat one more and I'm leaving one. Or maybe I'm not going to eat the last two. I'm leaving the last two and I'm walking away. I already went down the rabbit hole. I don't have to drown here, right? Or, all right, I'm having pizza for dinner, but that doesn't mean I have to eat like half the pie and then have tiramisu for dessert. You know, I'm going to have pizza. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to eat it slow. I'm going to, you know, but I'm going to stick to two slices and not have five, right? That's an illustration. You know, I'm at the sport banquet. I'm exhausted. I don't have anything else with me. And everything they have here is like white pasta, ziti, eggplant parmesan, spaghetti, white bread. I can't eat any of this. I'm too tired to fight it. So you know what? I'm having the spaghetti, and then I'm going to have some of the bread, and I'm going to put butter on the bread. Like, that's the 100% go down the rabbit hole. What I'm saying to you is, like, you say, all right, I'm going to have the spaghetti. I'm going to pick a portion that is going to be appropriate. I'm going to get away from this table as far as I can. I'm going to eat it slowly. And, yeah, I'm off the plan, but I'm not 100% off the plan. I'm only 90% off the plan. Or maybe I'm 60% off the plan, but the point I'm making is you don't want to go more than 90. You're holding on to at least some percentage of not going fully down the rabbit hole. That's the replacement thought in your head. Now let me give you the illustration, and it's powerful. So in 2020, there was only one full Ironman race that was run because of the pandemic. And in that Ironman race, history was made because it was the first time in human history that a person with Down syndrome successfully completed a full Ironman. Like, I cried when I watched these clips. And this is like a full this was a full Down syndrome person. It wasn't Down syndrome light. This person spoke, you know, like you couldn't understand what he's saying because his speech, you know, is warbled but he did this race. And if you don't know what an Ironman is, it's a 2.4-mile swim. It is a 112-mile bike, and then followed by a 26.2 or a marathon run, all in a row, you know, and you got to get that done within 17 hours. So this young man, he was a man, and he was like in his early 20s, Down syndrome. He crossed the, and he did not have it easy. He had issues on the course. He had issues in his training to get to the course that, you know, any most people would have surrendered. They would have thrown in the towel 100%. I cannot do this. I'm out 100%. He crossed the finish line with a t-shirt on it, and it said, 1% improvement consistently. So what does that mean? It means the day he woke up and he said, I just can't do it. I don't want to do the training. I failed miserably yesterday. I had a terrible week. You know, I'm tired. I'm embarrassed. I'm exhausted. Like, whatever. I don't want to train today. But he said and he said this in interviews. So that day he would go out and he would walk up the block and walk back to mark the time so that he did something that was marking the time for when he would have done his run or his bike or his swim training. So he did 1%, the smallest percent possible practically, so he didn't 100% surrender to not doing the training that day. And it's because he did that over and over again during his trainings that he then became historical and finished an Ironman as the first Down syndrome person to ever do that. Like, oh my God, right? So now let's take that and apply it to the food situation, okay? You don't have to go fully down. You're going to go off the plan. You're going to have times where you're just completely overwhelmed and in your mind you're going to be, I just can't do it. So you're going to eat off your plan. What I'm suggesting to you to say to yourself in your head is, okay, I'm going to eat off my plan, but to what degree? Because I'm not allowing myself to go 100% off. So if I'm going to order the fast food, I'm leaving 3 bites of this burger. I'm throwing it away after I finish the fries and the burger and whatever. Because this is marking, like, this is on principle. It's keeping me in the practice of staying on my plan because I'm empowering myself to not finish this. And so I'm 5% in right now. I'm not 100% out. I'm not, you know, I'm still in this game. And you may think that that is, you know, so you ate the burger and the fries, like that's going to make you gain weight anyway. But if you're practicing this over and over again and you stay in the game, it'll be 50% one time. It'll be 30% you go off because you kept yourself to the other, you know, 70%. And when you're practicing this replacement thought in your head, nope, it's not negotiable. I can go off the plan, but I cannot go 100% off the plan, no matter how tired, no matter how emotional, no matter how upset, no matter how what. So staying in the game and not 100%, you know, surrendering, 90%, that's the max. But I can never 100% surrender, no matter how tired I am. That's the replacement to thought to, I'm so tired, I don't care. And anybody under these circumstances would feel the same. So I have every excuse in the book, and everybody will understand that, so I'm going down. That's the one you don't want to do, but that's the one that people do over and over again that I hear. The one I want you to replace it with is, all right, I'm going to go down, but I'm not going down 100%. I'm going down kicking and screaming. I'm going to go down keeping a little bit, marking that I am still in this game so that tomorrow when I'm not so overwhelmed, I can look back and say, yeah, but you held on a little bit, and that's going to fuel me because it's going to make me feel good to know that I did that to then get back in the game 100% or 90 or 80 or whatever it is the next day, and that's going to lead to successful weight loss. So that's replacement thought number 2 in my series of 6. I hope you're finding this valuable. I got more to come. Go up to the next ones. You're going to watch them too. Thanks for listening, everybody. And if you'd like to have access to some of my additional resources, I can be found at Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on my website, www.judyterrell.com.